kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
This teaching today, our making it in depends on the power of the Spirit. Our making it in depends on the power of the Spirit. When we read the Gospels in particular, Jesus's demands of discipleship and total faith, we have shared many times, lies in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It requires the power of God that created the heavens and the earth, the very power that formed man in God's image, the very power that raised Christ from the dead, triumphing over sin and death, is the same power that works in us if we believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why do I stress that in that way? Because of the demands of the gospel, the demands of discipleship. No one can keep it. No one can fulfill it. No one can get even near it, and don't even attempt or try, because you will just land up in dead religious works, which sadly we have around the world. It lies in our faith in the risen Lord Jesus Christ. The word tells us he is our faith. He is the author of our faith, and he is the finisher of our faith. And your faith is a gift given in which to believe. Now that tells us something, because we cannot confess that Jesus Christ is Lord unless the Spirit gives us the utterance, the belief, the quickening in which to believe. When we look at the demands of discipleship, where we labour constantly, don't we, with you, where he tells us to forsake all and follow him, to put our hands to the plough and not look back, to put him first before wife, husband, child, family, career, job, hobby, all of these demands that are needed, the requirements that are needed in which to be followers and disciples of Christ. We can't do that. And to think that we can do this is crazy. We can only do this when we allow the cross, which we take up daily and follow, to work that in our heart and our affection. This is why the Spirit comes to work this within us. And we've taught you for years, it is simply on the basis of yielding. It's not doing anything. You can't do anything. What can you do for God, who is perfect in all his ways, his glory? He is completely dependent, independent. He's perfect in his relationship, in the Godhead. He doesn't need anything else. But he chose to create. He chose to create man in his image for the purpose of fellowship. You and I couldn't even create ourselves. We are the handiwork of Almighty God. And all he asks of us is simply to believe with that childlike faith. And to take up that cross daily and follow him. And the Holy Spirit, the Blessed Comforter, has come to take over and do the rest. That is why Hebrews presents faith as a rest. It's not in doing, but being before God. And you will learn to rest by faith, when you realize you cannot do a thing. You cannot aid yourself in being a better person or being a godly person. You can't. You were conceived in sin. There's nothing in us that God saw that influenced him in which to save us. Nothing. It is the mercy of God, because he first loved us. And so the immediate response when God touches our life by his Spirit is the forsaking all. And that's what we do. We willingly take the death sentence that Jesus had to take literally in his flesh. He knew where he was going. He had a vision, and the vision was Jerusalem. And the enemy, we know, tried to stop him from going there in every conceivable way. But he knew that he had to surrender his life in which to redeem mankind. He let the Spirit do it. He didn't have to do anything. He didn't have to betray himself. Judas did that. He didn't have to try and crucify himself. The Romans did that. The Spirit did it. The Spirit led him. The Spirit worked reconciliation through his flesh in which to redeem us, that we now can have the pleasure and joy of fellowship together today, now. He made that possible by yielding, not doing, yielding. It was the same with the miracles that happened through him. He yielded to the Father's will. He knew what the Spirit was doing. Why? Because as we taught many times in Philippians 2, he emptied himself. And that is what God is doing with us. The Spirit has come baptizing us, empowering us to empty us. Not to leave us empty, but to be filled with the fullness of God. And that's why no one can meet these demands. Yet he doesn't change his word to conform with your circumstances or my circumstances. He doesn't yield or let us get away where we can just select certain verses that we like that appeal to us, to our flesh. Not at all. You take God and his word from Genesis to Revelation. His word doesn't change. And this is why he offers us the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that extra experience. Remember, I've said, when you are saved, Christ is with you. When you are baptized in the Spirit, he is in you. Because it's only through the Holy Spirit can you understand the true nature of Jesus Christ. And this is why we have such religious substitutes today. We have these substitutes because they're not willing to yield their lives over and to be filled with the Spirit and to allow the Holy Spirit to create Jesus Christ in them. That is what God wants to see. God wants to see his Son in you, the reflection, the mirror. That is the only way he accepts us. The only way he accepted the forgiveness of our sins and rebellion was the receiving of his Son, perfect in his likeness, being that sin bearer on our behalf. And that is how he sees you, through his Son. And that is what the Holy Spirit has come to baptize us, empower us, so that his Son is created in our lives, in our walk, in our thinking, in our actions, in our faith, in our reading the Word of God, in our footsteps, through our mouths, what we see, what we hear. He has come to create his Son in us. And it staggers me how many Christians and churches today don't see this and preach this. Why? Because the cross is left out of its message. And yet the cross is the center, the theme of the good news of the gospel. We've made it a decoration. We've made it something that you wear around your neck. It's become ornate, a work of art. It isn't. It's a stigma. It's cruel. It was torture. It was death. And that signifies what God does with our flesh. He puts it to death. And only the cross that you willingly take up each day and follow the power of the Holy Spirit like he did with Jesus, he will do it with you. And when you cry out, "Where are you, Lord? My God, you have forsaken me," you will hear the words, "My grace is sufficient." That is what he's doing. That is what sorts out the men from the boys. This is where you grow up in sonship to inherit your sonship and the promises that God has given in his word. But we have religious substitutes today. Because man in nature is religious, because there is an area within him that needs to be filled. It's what I call the God area for fellowship. And he's going to find something to replace that if he doesn't get the true experience. Trust me. So have you noticed how he confronts us with the deeper life? He's calling us to follow his steps. Impossible in the natural. It can't be done. It can only be done when you receive the empowerment of his Spirit, the same Spirit that raised him from the dead, the same Spirit working in your footsteps each day, walking with him. And not only that, but the power of the Spirit even helps us to yield over. We know that in Philippians 2, verse 13, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." You walk with him in covenant for his good pleasure, for his glory. He saved you today for his good pleasure. He's teaching us today his word for his good pleasure. Because he loves us. And you'll know when it's God. You'll know when the Spirit is speaking and working with you, because it's impossible. But Nehemiah says it's not by might, not by power, it is by my Spirit, says the Lord. You are a work of his Spirit. And it's not after the flesh. It's after the Spirit. That life that now lives in you. And his name is Jesus. Because he is the one who's gone before to prepare the way for you and I. And he promised and said to the disciples, I will come back to you. Of course, they didn't understand. And you've got many today in churches, they don't understand. Because you have to experience this. The power of God is also to be experienced. And that is what works on our will. To will over to him, to let him do that work. I found that all the works that God wants to do in my life, my flesh hates it. It hates it. But I know there is something that can work on that, and that is the cross. And he knows how to work those spiritual nails in my hands and in my feet. And he does it. And he doesn't listen to my objections, my cryings, my howling, my tantrums, or whatever it is, he doesn't take any notice. He does it. And you know what? I thank God he does. That is the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. He knows what he's doing. We know clearly in the scriptures how Jesus displays all of this. Let's just turn to Luke 4 and verse 18. Luke 4 and verse 18, we're talking today about how dependent we are on the Holy Spirit, the power of God. That is what we're looking at today. And we see in Luke 4 and in verse 18, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. It was those two verses that persuaded me that God had not made a mistake over my life in calling me into the ministry. It was that in the end that broke me. It was that because I saw it's the Spirit of the Lord upon me. It doesn't lie in me. It's his Spirit. His anointing, the same anointing that Jesus walked by is the same I do and you do and all those who are followers and lovers of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is the divine principle that you are sent forth in the world, empowered. He doesn't leave you out. That is it. And that is how he healed and he cast out demons by the Spirit of God. He was led by the Spirit. He did nothing against his Father's will. What is that? The Spirit, the Holy Spirit. He was raised from the dead by that same anointing that was upon him to proclaim the gospel, to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captive free, that same Spirit raised him from the dead. God is one divine Spirit who eternally manifests as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We somehow have him all divided. He's not. They all agree in the Godhead. They don't do anything independently. When that was spoken over Jesus, that was the Godhead there in agreement over him. The Godhead is in agreement with you and me in our salvation, our walk with him. They are in perfect unity and oneness. That's why you receive of his fullness. It's mind-boggling, I know. I know this is real meat of the word to try and get your head round this. But God is trying to make a point today with us, brothers and sisters, because we've got to move on in this hour. We can't dither around. We can't get sidetracked or distracted. We are about our Father's business. We are busy in the vineyard. And some are becoming a bit despondent and looking around and wondering why and asking questions. And does it all help? Not at all. It just makes you depressed and down. If you really have been touched by God, you will soon learn God never makes a mistake. Never. And you rest in that. No matter how strange it looks, no matter where he leads you, even if you go to prison or you're put on a desert island like the Apostle John, didn't think it strange. And as a result of it, he received the greatest revelation that closes the Bible, the book of Revelation. They didn't know what to do with him. History says they tried to put him in a vat of boiling oil. Didn't know what to do with him because the Spirit of God was on him, preserving him, keeping him. For what for? To reveal the book of Revelation, which is now being unfolded to us now in these closing days. The Spirit of God is the creator of all things. Do you know the Spirit of God created his church? We tend to forget that. The same Spirit that created the heavens and the earth. When you look up in the sky and the stars at night, you can't even see how far they are away. We don't know the distance. We don't know how vast it is. That power that spoke that into being is the same power that created his church. Acts 2, verses 1 to 4. Acts 2, verses 1 to 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Don't lose that experience, brothers and sisters. Let the Spirit continue to renew and vitalize you each day in your walk with God, because you have received that same experience there you have received. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are. That is our experience. And we are daily filled, empowered by the Spirit of God. And there's always something new to learn this day from the Lord if we're open and ready to receive. It shouldn't be a drudge to walk with God. We should never be down or depressed. And that's why the Spirit baptizes us into that experience, as you can read in 1 Corinthians 12:13. The Spirit of God has baptized us. He's empowered us for this meeting today. He's empowered us to be able to hear this teaching and to have fellowship. He's empowered us to be faithful, to keep coming and listening and encouraging one another. It's not just left to the pastors, as important as that is. You know, when we come together, when we open the room up and I see the saints coming in, I see the power of the Holy Spirit at work. And it excites me. It encourages me. Because he builds us by his Spirit. The Spirit empowers the church for its witness. You say to me, I don't feel of much use at all. Let go of that negative thinking. Let go of looking at yourself. It's not about you anyway. It's Christ in you who is the witness. Let Christ in you reach out through you as you yield to the Spirit. He knows how to minister. He knows how to reach out to the lost, to the lonely, to those who need healing, to the destitute, the downs, the depressed, the drug addicts, the alcoholics, you name it. He knows through you how to reach out to them. You get in the way. We get in the way with our prejudice, our lack of love. As we've heard so often, we say it to ourselves, you never judge a book by its cover, but we do it. We get in the way. Our mood swings get in the way. Oh, I feel down. I didn't have a very good night's sleep last night. Gets in the way. It's not about us. It's about the Spirit in us reaching out. The Spirit sends ministry. He sends ministry into the harvest field. And that's why we pray for the laborers. He says the harvest is there. There's nothing wrong with the harvest. It's the laborers. Because the laborers still walk in the flesh and not in the Spirit. Experiencing the power of the Spirit. Experiencing that through weakness I am made strong. It's always going to be that way, brothers and sisters. That's what you settle on in discipleship. That is the demands that God puts on us. He makes it very clear, it is in your weakness I will strengthen you. And that will not change. And you cannot avoid it. You cannot try and go another way or another means. That is how it always works. Because it's about his glory. It's about his power being made perfect in weakness. As I've said many times, there are times I've preached this word, and when I have finished, and I've sat down, I've just sat back and said, that was a miracle that took place. That was you taking over. I have proved it over and over again. I've proved that God gives you that boldness in that hour in which to speak. I heard a testimony, and I trust that this is true, but a man was in, I believe, in the underground, in one of the carriages, and the Spirit said to him, speak out about me. He said, he thought about it, and in the end it was so strong, he got up and said, repent. Jesus is coming. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And a woman shouted out and said, "Shut up and sit down." And so he did. And then the Spirit came upon him again in power and said, "Get up and repeat what you said." And he got up and he started to say, "Jesus loves you. Jesus is the way, the truth and the life." And this woman started to cry out again to him and telling him to shut up and everything. And the little child that was with her said, "Stop that, mummy. Don't say that. He's telling us the love of God." And then she started to well up and cry. And she said, "My child was mute. It now speaks." Never limit how God works when we yield over to the Spirit. He is in control. He knows what he's doing. And a miracle can take place. He is the creator of his church. He is building his church, as strange as it may seem, because it is always by the power of his Spirit. We've got so much today in a lot of Christendom and all this entertainment that goes on. They're wanting power, power. There's many songs about power, failing to see where the power lies, and it's in the cross. And why do they reject it? Why do preachers not want to preach this? Because it sorts it all out. That's why. And they begin to lose their funding. No longer can these ministers have their monthly income and a good living, because they've made merchandise of the gospel. Sadly, many of them are charlatans. The word of God says, "Freely you've received, freely give." And that's why I took that as God's word, and he was able to bless me in a job that I get a lot of pleasure from, to be able to earn my living and not be a burden on the church. That is how ministry should be. Even the Apostle Paul didn't want to be a burden. He did tent making. He showed that he was willing to work with his hands. But there we are. We are that example. If nobody's living it, then what you know and what you're yielded over to by the Spirit, you live it. Because your example each day is going to speak to this dying world, the same as your faith, your confession, your standing upon the promises of God is going to speak to some. Trust me. Why am I so confident? Because the power of the Holy Spirit, if you're yielded to him, he's going to lead you to those who need to see that witness. They're waiting to see the sons of God. They're waiting to see men and women who stand on the word and the promises of God, whose lives are yielded to the Spirit. You've got a remnant out there who are waiting to see this and hear this. And that's where you come in. And that is where the power of the Holy Spirit will lead you in that right time and way. Your very prayers and burdens that you pray for the lost, or you pray for your neighbour or your boss at work and everything, that is God moving through you to have compassion and mercy on that soul, to save them. That's how you and I were saved, because somebody prayed for us. And what did that take? That took the power of the Spirit to do that. Else we wouldn't be here today. And that's why the power of the Spirit comes to convict us of sin. And thank God he doesn't leave us in that state of conviction, but he shows us the way of deliverance and healing. And that is how Jesus always presented his gospel. And that is the way the gospel must be presented. Yes, convict of sin, but also show the way of deliverance and healing. As you've got no gospel, it's harsh, it's critical, and nobody can ever live it. That is why the power and the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for everyone who believes and who wants him, and to be empowered, because they've seen I can't do this in myself, but I offer myself, Romans 12, 1 and 2, on the altar. And as I've said, what can you do more than offer yourself, your heart to God, which is exactly what he wants. And being the master potter, he says, now I've got this clay and I will now mold and perfect you, and I will raise you as a vessel for my glory and honour. Wonderful. Why is it we strive so much when all he asks us is to believe on him? You see, you can only say Jesus is Lord by the Spirit. You can. You can't say he's Lord. Oh, the devils can say it, but there's no power behind it. Only the Spirit through you can confess his name, his power. The Spirit sanctifies us. In other words, he sets us apart so that we don't become defiled with the world. That takes the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God teaches us. The Spirit of God produces the fruit within our lives, because it says that's how they are known as Christians, as followers of Jesus. He created everything. There's nothing exists that the power of the Spirit of God didn't do. What is it saying? Psalm 104 and verse 24. Psalm 104 and verse 24. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. And it goes on about what these possessions are. Here it is, look. Everything created and made by his Spirit, and the same Spirit who dwells in you right now. What does it say in verse 30? You send forth your Spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. There you are, there's a promise there. He renews the face of the earth. And all we hear today is that unless we do something about climate change, the world will come to an end. What a lie from the pit. When you got verses like this. He is sovereign, he is in control. What did Job have to say about the Spirit of Almighty God? Job 33 and verse 4. Job 33 and verse 4. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. Wow. Look what he's learning in his sufferings as he's coming out of them now and moving towards the blessings that God was going to give. God was going to restore back to him what he lost. And God's going to restore to us what the enemy has robbed and taken out of our lives. But he had to have that revelation. The Spirit of God has made me. and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. He has made me, He has given me life, and He will take me home into glory at that right time. He had to see that and confess that. Then God blessed him and gave back that which the devil has stolen. And believe me, he lost a lot. Most of us would have given up. But the power of God kept Job confessing and believing. Was he perfect? No. But God was working in that. So he makes us. He's made us. As I said in the beginning of this, the Godhead is totally active. And as I bring this to a close, I'm going to bring you something that you know very well and probably underlined in your Bible in John 14 and verse 16. John 14 and verse 16. And we'll look at something here that you might not just have seen. John 14 and verse 16. And what does it say here? And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Well, we know that the helper is the power of the Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit come to baptize us in the Spirit and to bring Jesus Christ to us, so that he now is created in us. That's what Jesus is praying there in his flesh. And so we see the Godhead. We see Jesus is with us. Now turn further and look what it says in verse 18. And he says, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. So Jesus says, he's prayed to the Father. There's the Godhead present. He says, I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm not going to leave you destitute, in fear, unloved, without parents, because that's what an orphan is. No, he says, I'm going to come back to you. I'm going to empower you. I am going to be with you. I'm going to take your life over. I'm going to lead you. Okay, you're getting it? Now, look at verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He has revealed the Spirit back in 16. He's revealed himself in verse 18. And now in verse 23, he reveals the Godhead himself. Isn't that amazing? Let's read it again. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. So the secret, the wisdom, the key is the word of God. And that is why we make so much of the word of God. Because our faith comes by hearing this word. And my Father will love him or her. And we will come to him or her and make our home with them. Who? The fullness of the Godhead. The Godhead that was there in Genesis. Let us make man in our image. There he is. And he says, we will come and make our abode with you, that you will cry out, Abba, Father, and you are no longer an orphan. He says, I won't leave you as orphans. I will come back to you in fullness, in power, in majesty, in might. I will come to you as your teacher, your healer, your provider, everything that he is. Why do we doubt? Because we still get in the way. But praise God, the good news is the cross will deal with that, that we too daily take up and follow. He will come, and he will come back to us in fullness. And that's what he's done, brothers and sisters. And that is why we make so much about the Holy Spirit, the empowerment of the Spirit. And you hear me saying it many, many times. I know I can sound like a broken record, but there is a reason why I say this. Because this stops you striving. It stops you trying to be. You can't do it. You think about it. King Charles, who was recently crowned, doesn't try to be king. He is king. From what? From birth. And it is exactly the same principle, but how much more we now who are a royal priesthood, you don't have to try at this. You are on the basis of believing and receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I will come back to you. I will come, we will come, we will empower you to be able to walk this walk and to keep the standard, the demands that Jesus presents to the disciple. All he asks of us, offer me your heart on the altar, and I will receive it by the fire of the Spirit, and I will take over and do the rest. That is why we yield to the Spirit, and don't fight him. Don't fight him now, because time is short. Things are rapidly changing in the world. The darkness is spreading like a cloth. But you are sons and daughters of the light. And let that light shine through you, because he knows how to do it. Yes, sister, he's taking us to a new level. That is something the Spirit's been quickening to me. And you're simply confirming what he's saying. We're on the brink of a new level of a walk and experience with God. Don't give up now. We've come too far. We're in this race, and we'll win that race. And we can confidently say that, no matter how it looks, because Jesus has won the race. Hallelujah.
Let him in constancy follow.